This is obviously a special shiur, and it is not intended only for those who are here, but through the medium of the video to be shown to other young women in the Beis Yaakovs all over the world, and to Bnei Torah also, to young men throughout the yeshivas all over the world. And we are in the midst of preparing for our yearly Kabbalah Satorah on Shavuos. And Kabbalah Satorah depends on Mesirah Satorah. It is the obligation of the current generation, which I am a part of, to see to it that the Torah is given to the coming generation, which you are part of. And I like to think of myself as a chacham, and a zehu chacham haroes hanovah. And therefore, I don't see in front of me a bunch of young women, but I see the future mothers of Klal Yisrael. And through the medium of the video, I see the future fathers of Klal Yisrael. And you are to be the ones that will receive the Torah and hand it over and see to it that it's perpetuated to your children and to the coming generation. And the Torah has to be given over the way that it was given to us on Har Sinai, bereses uvziyah, with trembling and fear, but most, more important, the Torah was given b'kedusha v'tahara, in holiness and in purity. And that holiness and purity has to be kept in order for the Torah to be able to be perpetuated and for the Torah to be able to exist. And therefore, during this time of preparation for our yearly reacceptance of the Torah, the re-mesira of Torah Misinai, perhaps it's for that reason that we learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, because Pirkei Avos starts with the idea of the Mesira Satorah, the Mesorah, the handing over of the Torah from Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu and then throughout the generations. And then it speaks about how to keep the Torah, B'kedusha, the Tahara, starting with Midos Tovos and all the other Midos that the Torah is Niknes Bohem, all the Kinyonim that the Torah is Niknes Bohem, amongst them and foremost amongst them, Kedusha and Tahara. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, his preface to Matan Torah was Kosomar LeBeis Yaakov. You're all familiar with the Medrash, Beis Yaakov Elu Hanoshim. Torah had to be given to the women first, because they're the ones who create the environment, the bayis hayehudi, in which the kedusha and tahara of Klal Yisrael emanates from. But Beis Yaakov, the Medrash says, has another meaning. Elu ha-Sanhedrin. Beis Yaakov means the Sanhedrin, because the Sanhedrin, the Bnei Torah, the Gedolei Torah, create the other bayis hayehudi, the tzibur bayis, the communal bayis of Klal Yisrael. Those are responsible for Mosrei HaTorah Gedolei Yisrael, who come from the Bnei Torah in Klal Yisrael. And they're also Beis Yaakov. The women create the individual personal home, and the men create the tzibur, the communal home of Klal Yisrael. And that home is the home where Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh is formed. That's what our tachlis is. And that was the purpose of Kabbalah Satorah, to transform us into a Mamleches Kohanim. And the way that we are a Mamleches Kohanim, Kohanim are God's representatives to the world. And we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. That is our role in the world. Ata v'chartonu mikol ha'amim, ohavto sonu v'ratziso bonu, v'romamtonu mikol ha'lishonos v'kidashtonu b'mitzvosecho. Our role is to be God's representatives to the world, by living a life of Kedusha, by being a Goy Kadosh. V'shimcha ha-gadol v'ha-kadosh oleinu korosu. And Torah tells us, in order to achieve that Kedusha, in order for us to be that Mamleches Kohanim v'goy Kadosh, v'avdil eschem min ha'amim li osli, I separated you from the nations of the world to be mine. Rashi brings the Chazal, im atem uvdolim atem sheli, if you separate yourself from the nations of the world, then you're mine. Then if you don't separate yourself from the nations of the world, then you belong to Nebuchadnezzar and his cohorts and his friends. I think the simple meaning probably is that if you separate yourself from the nations of the world and you don't live the life of Hefkeris that they live, you don't commit the abominations that they commit, then Atem Shali, I'll protect you. The imlav, and if not, if you're mafker yourself, if you live the kind of hefkeris, then I will be mafker you into their hands. Then you belong to Nebuchadnezzar, and I'll give you over into the hands of your enemies. But the truth is, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, Hare ani moser eschem biyad Nebuchadnezzar. It says, Hare atem shel Nebuchadnezzar. You belong to Nebuchadnezzar. What does that mean? We, being Kohanei Hashem, are God's representatives in the world. And the way we do that is by living a life of Kedusha. The nations of the world, even the best of them, are only required to be moral. They don't have to be Kodesh. And if we don't separate ourselves from them, not just from the evil ones, not just from the ones that commit abominations, but if we don't separate ourselves even from the best of the Goyim, the moral going, and live a life of Kedusha, we're supposed to live a life on a completely different plane. Our homes and our hearts have to be Kodesh. And therefore, if we do not separate ourselves from the lifestyle of the nations of the world, even the best of them, then we belong to Nebuchadnezzar and his friends. We have the chiyuv. We have the responsibility to be God's Mikdash. That's where the Mikdash is. The Mikdash is not a building. The building is only a medium to create the real Mikdash. The Asuli Mikdash v'shochanti b'socham. The Rabban Hashem dwells in the heart of every single Jew. We are his Mikdash. We are a Mokum Kodesh. Our homes are a Mikdash. Our hearts are a Mikdash. If we separate ourselves from the nations of the world, then we are God's representatives, we belong to him, Atem Shali. But if we don't separate ourselves, and we don't create that Mikdash, and we don't sanctify our hearts and our homes, then we belong to the same club that Nebuchadnezzar belongs to. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Except he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash of stones and wood, and we're destroying the Beis HaMikdash of our homes and our hearts. We belong to the same club. And that is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And that's the reason that he gave us Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Kedosha, where we can create a society that's Kulo Kodesh, where every aspect of life can be holy. And he took us out of Mitzrayim because Mitzrayim was the antithesis, the negation of holiness. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, Kema Yisei Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Sa'asu, don't mimic the lifestyle that you saw in Mitzrayim, because that's why I took you out of Mitzrayim. Ukema Yisei Eretz Kenan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Sa'asu, and don't mimic the lifestyle that you will find amongst the Kenanim, because that's why I'm destroying them and putting you in their place. That you shouldn't live the lifestyle of Mitzrayim, and you shouldn't live the lifestyle of Eretz Canaan, but you should create the kind of lifestyle that befits a Goy Kadosh, who are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And it could be for that reason we are Mekayim the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. We have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Where do we remember that? There's many, many places in the Torah that it speaks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where is the place that Chazal chose to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day? In the parasha of Tzitzis. Because that parasha says, V'yisem kidoshim lelokeichem, and after that, Ani Hashem lokeichem, and Asher tzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's because of our lifestyle of Kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us to Eretz Yisrael and replaced the nations that were here with us. And therefore, the place that we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, we don't only remember that we went out, but remember the Tachlis. Why did we go out? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us out? Because the Yisem Kedoshim Lelokeichem, because we are required to be holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And what is it that promotes holiness and protects us from not mimicking the lifestyle of the nations of the world around us? As it says in Parshat Tzitzis, Lo Sasuru Achrei Levavchem Ve'Acharei Inechem. Don't wander after your hearts and after your eyes. Person thinks he has tremendous tithes. All of us are human beings. And we have drives and desires. And that Yetzer Hara HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that we should conquer it. And we should direct it in the right way. And that's why he gave us a Torah. Barosi Yetzer Hara, Barosi Torah Tavlin Lo. I created the Yetzer Hara, but I created the Torah, many translated as an antidote. But that's not the translation. A tavlin is not an antidote. A tavlin is a spice. You don't put antidotes in your food to spice it up. You put spices. Tavlin. The Yetzer Hara needs to be spiced up. Doesn't need to be destroyed. It needs to be directed. Bechol levavecha. We're supposed to serve the Rabbanu Shel Olam with both of our hearts. With the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. And those drives and those desires that are in our heart can be used for very, very fine, holy, pure things. But if we let our eyes look in the wrong places, if we let our minds hear the wrong things, then both our physical eye and our mind's eye, the Ramban says that we put tefillin, b'nei nechem, but we don't put the tefillin down here. We put our tefillin up on the top of our head, beyond the hairline. The reason being that that is the source of vision. That is the mind's eye. That's where vision comes from the brain. So a person has to make sure that his eyes, both his physical eyes, what he physically sees, and what he thinks about, the concepts that enter his mind, are also pure. Because if not, then Rahmana Litzlan, that Kedusha is destroyed. And the whole Shmira, the whole protection of Yira Shamayim, of not going after your heart and after your eyes, and not being drawn in where those tithes, those drives, will be used and abused in a terrible wrong way, and make us the opposite of an Am Kodesh. The greatest Shmira is Busha. Leman tiyeh yiras Hashem al peneichem levilti secheto. Torah tells us that if a person has yiras shamayim on his face, then he won't sin. And Chazal say, where is yiras shamayim on your face? Where do you see yiras shamayim written on a person's face? Zehabusha. That's the ability to be ashamed. The ability to be embarrassed. There are things in this world that a person should be ashamed to do because it's not befitting him. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representatives. We have a neshama kedosha. We're not animals. And sometimes a person does things or wants to do things that is befitting an animal, but not befitting a human being, most certainly not a human being who's also a ben or bas Yisrael, who has to act as a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And therefore, busha is a tremendous, tremendous safeguard and protection that a person should be able to contain himself and not do those things that are embarrassing and shameful. And that is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to Har Sinai. He didn't just give us the Torah special delivery in the mail. But the whole Maimed Har Sinai, the Torah says, the purpose of Maimed Har Sinai, Leman Naso Seshem Bo Elokim, Leman Tia Yiras Hashem Al Pneichem Levilti Techetol, that was the purpose. And on that it says in the Haggadah, Ilu Kervonu Lifnei Har Sinai, Velo Nosan Lonu Es HaTorah Dayenu, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu only brought us to Har Sinai, and not even given us the Torah, but he brought us to Har Sinai that we'd be able to acquire that midah of shame, of busha, of being able to be embarrassed, that in itself would have perhaps maintained us as an Am Kodesh. Kol Shekein V'Kol Shekein, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his Torah, and gave us all the mitzvahs, and limud HaTorah, which sanctifies us even more. And the negation of Kedusha and Tahara starts with just a little pirtza. Doesn't start with big things. Starts with little things. The Kli Yoker says, Chazal compare the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, to a zvuv, to a fly. You have an apple. The fly can't do anything to that apple if a bite of the apple hasn't been taken out of it. Once a bite has been taken out, there's a pirtza. There's an opening. Lepesa chatas rovets. The Yetzer Hara waits for a little bit of an opening. And once there's an opening, then there's no end to what the Yetzer Hara can do. But if you don't give the Yetzer Hara that opening, you don't start, you don't take that bite, then the Yetzer Hara is powerless against us. And therefore, it's extremely important that not only don't we do things that are shameful and embarrassing, not only don't we do things that are awesome, but we make siyogim la-Torah. We make fences around the Torah to make sure that we don't come close to having that first little bite taken out of the apple, and then the fly has total power after that bite is taken. And that is the Jewish home. Jewish home is not just a place where mitzvahs are done, where there is kedusha, but it's a place where there are strong walls and strong doors to close and make sure that things that are not proper are not brought into the house. And the walls of the house create a pnimius. When you don't have walls, you're standing in Rishus HaRabim. You're standing in the public thoroughfare. And the public thoroughfare, there is no busha, there's only preachers. But when you put up walls and you stand on the inside, you realize that there are things in this world that are pnimius, that are inner things, that are private things. And that engenders a person's understanding that the world, the main things in the world, are not the chitzonius, not the external things in the world. But what's the neshama of those things? What's the inner value of those things? And the walls of the home not only create this atmosphere and environment of pnimius, but they are strong walls to protect and prevent things that would contaminate the house, that would damage the house from coming inside. And every individual is responsible to guard the kedusha of the home. Every member of the home, every member of the household, every member of Klal Yisrael. No one can say, what difference does it make? There's other people being shomer kedushas Yisrael. There are other people giving over the Torah to the next generation. What's my little problem going to hurt anybody else? They tell a famous story about the people in Chelm. They got together and they decided that in order to really celebrate Simchas Torah properly, they needed a tremendous reservoir of liquor. So they made a tax. Everybody would have to pour one cup a week of liquor into a gigantic barrel, that by the time Simchas Torah came, there would be this tremendous pool of liquor. And one person said to himself, you know, nobody's going to know the difference if I pour in water. When they come to have the liquor on Simchas Torah, there's going to be so much liquor in there, a little water is not going to make any difference. So he decided that instead of pouring liquor, he's going to save himself some money, and he's going to pour water in, and no one will ever know the difference. Came Simchas Torah, and they came to enjoy the liquor that they had saved up all over the year, and they found an entire reservoir of water. Everybody thought the same thing. What is my little bit of water going to make a difference? And everybody poured in water. And there wasn't any liquor at all. Everybody has to feel the ol hachibur, the responsibility for Klal Yisrael. And if you are not going to protect your Kedusha and your Tahara and your home's Kedusha and Tahara, then Rachmana Litzlan, nobody will do it. And Klal Yisrael will disappear from the map as an Am Kodesh, as a Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. The Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Elimeir Bloch Zatzal, when he came to America, made the following observation. So it's interesting, in Europe, they used to keep the garbage cans outside covered. In America, somehow, they keep the garbage can in the living room uncovered. He was referring to television. Television is a garbage can. Maybe it's even worse than a garbage can. A garbage can, at least you have edible things that you finished with or whatever. Television brings into your homes things that are unedible to anyone. Anyone especially who has to be a part of a Mamleches Kohanim the Goy Kadosh. But today it's even worse. Today you don't have to bring the garbage can into your living room. Today you have portable garbage cans that you can carry around with you in your pocket, in your purse. They are the products of great technology, which has tremendous good uses for it. But in addition to television, you have TV programming on computers, internet access on videos and on Blackberries and cell phones and iPods. And it's zele umaze. The Rabban Shem expected us to have all of those things, but you know for what? For Torah. B'shifticha b'veisecha, uv'lechtucha v'aderech, uv'shachbecha, uv'kumecha. All of these things can be used for the good. But zele umaze, as much as these things can be used for the good, that's how much they can be used for the bad. Exactly. And therefore, these portable garbage cans, even more than they're the portable radioactive material that a person carries around, and Rachmana Litzlan, it contaminates and endangers the entire society. And this endangers the Hemshech of Torah. Because Torah has to be transmitted, Bikdusha of the Tahara. And it has to be observed, Bikdusha of the Tahara. And when Torah is not observed and not transmitted, Bikdusha of the Tahara, then the Torah, Rachmana Litzlan, is a contaminated Torah and has no future. And therefore, it behooves every single one of us to listen to Gedolei Yisrael and to hear how they feel that Yidden can protect themselves properly, what siyagim are necessary in order to see that this technology that again can be used in very, very positive ways. But Rahman al-Islam, the danger is there. Radioactive materials can be used to cure various diseases. But if you don't watch them properly, if they're in the hands of people who don't know how to use them properly, they can cause very, very terrible diseases. The same diseases they can cure, those same diseases what they cause. So this technology is something that can be used in a positive way, but only l'fi the horos of Das Torah, the horos of Gedolei Yisrael, how to use it in a positive way. And where the positive way is so unusual or so impossible to guard that it not be abused, that better it shouldn't be used altogether. And therefore, television, Gedolei Yisrael said that television is not something that a person needs or should have in his house, even though there may be, once in a while, something that is worthwhile on television. But it's not worth the risk for the 99.99% of filth that comes through that screen to take the risk for the 0.01% that a person can benefit other ways. Internet, computers, there, Gedolei Yisrael, there are needs for people who have to use it for work or for other reasons why a person may be permitted to have internet access, or he may be permitted to have a computer and use it properly. But then you have to be extra, extra careful and only use it in the way, again, with the horos of Das Torah, of Gedolei Yisrael, and your own personal Das Torah, who knows you personally, that maybe what the Gedolei Yisrael say in a general way maybe doesn't apply to you. Maybe your specific situation is much more dangerous, and therefore even what's mutter for someone else is not mutter for you, or vice versa. Sometimes because of your specific situation, maybe Das Torah will say that for you it's okay, even though for somebody else it wouldn't be okay. So the only way to be able to deal with this technology, and that is television program, internet access, on all these different kinds of medium, is only l'fi the horos of Gedolei Yisrael, as transmitted to you through your own personal Das Torah, your own personal Rabbani. And Baruch Hashem, there is an organization, which Islam mentioned in the beginning, Parents Concerned with Media Influence, that is directed by Rabbi Ephraim Applebaum Shlita from Toronto, and they are there to give encouragement and support and advice for people who find themselves nevuchim, perplexed, about their use or non-use of these kinds of medium that, again, are extremely, extremely dangerous when abused, and even though they can be extremely beneficial when used properly. And don't underestimate the danger. And don't overestimate your ability to counteract it. Altamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moshech. No one here is as great as Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and after that he became a tzaduki. So altamin ba'atzmecha. It's like saying, I am so pure, and I am so strong, that if I put my hand in fire, it won't get burnt. Not true. You can be strong and pure, but if you put your hand in fire, it burns. And these, the dangers of this medium, the dangers of television programming that comes in your BlackBerry or your cell phone or your computer, the danger is so great that no one who's a human being, malachim maybe, are impervious to it. But as long as you're a human being, you're not impervious. And it becomes like an addiction. All you need is that little pirza. That one thing that may not be so terrible, but it's not Kedusha and it's not Tahara, from that leads to Kamaise Eretz Mitzrayim or Kamaise Eretz Canaan. And it's a slippery slope. It's an addiction. And believe me, a little bit older than all of you, not all of you together, but all of you separately. And unfortunately, I've seen families destroyed by this kind of medium. Destroyed, mamish. I've seen youngsters, your age, girls, boys, destroyed as human beings, as teire yiddishe kinder, because of this medium. So it's something, and these are people who are no different than you. Fine Beis Yaakov girls. Fine yeshiva bachur. Families that were l'shem u'l'tiferes. Fathers who sat and learned in kol. And mothers who were the paragon of Kedushas Bas Yisrael. But that little pirza, that little bit, and they were sure it wasn't going to affect them, wasn't going to go any further than that. Little innocent things, and one innocent thing led to a little bit less innocent thing, and then a little bit less innocent thing, until all the to'evas, all of the filth that comes, the pornography and the things that are nivul peh, and the lifestyles that are portrayed on this medium, which inevitably leads a person, losasuru achrei levavchem achrei inechem. The Torah said that to Dor Deya, to the people who left Mitzrayim. It wasn't talking to bums. It was talking to the people of the highest level. But if they don't watch their eyes, and they don't watch their ears and their minds, they were in danger of slipping down to the lowest levels the antithesis, the opposite of the Yisan Kedoshim Melokeichen. I heard on a video that the Novominska Rebbe of Perlau Shlita also produced for this organization. I heard something very interesting, and I'm going to quote it. He said that this is the Nisoyan of our generation. The Satan saw that our generation gave up already on trying to be machshel yidden by taking away their lives and their livelihood and making it difficult for them to earn a living because of Shabbos and making it difficult to keep kashrus and taking away their ability to live a normal parnasa. So this generation, the Satan ignored all of those things. And Baruch Hashem, we can be mekayim mitzvahs, lemahadrin, kashrus, and Shabbos, and no problems at all. Mitzvahs we can do, every single mitzvah, every yontif, lemahadrin, min hamahadrin. And Baruch Hashem, we all have beautiful homes, and we have a nice parnasa, and all of those things are not the nisyonos of this generation. The chitzonius of Yiddishkeit, we can keep without a problem. The Satan doesn't make a problem. You know where the Satan makes a problem? Do we put a neshama into that? Do we have more than just the chitzonios, just the body? Do we have that kedusha and tahara that previous generations had? They didn't have all the things we have. They didn't have the ability to keep every mitzvah l'mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. They didn't have the beautiful gashmias that we have. But they had that neshama. They put the neshama into whatever they had. And that is the Nisayan of our generation. We have everything. Everything. But the one thing where the Satan makes a tremendous problem for us is making all of this shmutz, all of this tumah, all of these things that are the antithesis of Kedusha and Tahara, all of the things that lead us astray with our eyes and our ears and our minds, it has become so available, just as much as all the good things are available, all these bad things are available, and they're available in a way that there's no busha, there's no embarrassment. You can do it in the privacy of your own home, and you can even do it in the privacy where no one else is around. Privacy of your own personal cell phone, BlackBerry, iPod, whatever it may be. And when there's no busha, the danger is tremendous. That's an assign of our generation. Binu shnos dor vador. Know the differences between each generation. And know that the assign of your generation is the assign that you have to put your most effort into. And therefore, has to be a tremendous effort into seeing that we maintain and preserve the Kedusha and Tahara of Klal Yisrael that has been preserved for us throughout all the generations, that we fulfill our responsibility of receiving the Torah b'kedusha v'tahara from the generation before you, and fulfilling the responsibility of transmitting the Torah to your children, who will be in Yirtzeh Hashem, when you will be successful in creating homes of kedusha and tahara, homes where that kedusha and tahara emanates from your hearts and your eyes. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, you will raise the generation, your children. Yirtzeh Hashem will be the generation that greets Mashiach Tzidkenu and Heir of Yomim. Okay, we've set aside time for questions. Anybody has any questions, please, you can come up here, and this way the question will be heard by the people that will be listening to this outside of this room. And by the way, I heard this also from the Novominsker on the video that they presented from, I think it was the Beis Yaakov of Toronto a few years ago. He said, if you have a question, how are we? I just talk to you who gets videos and TV programming, and there's a video that's going to be shown. He said, Gedolei Yisrael made a condition that this video only be shown publicly, not privately. That even videos that are, I hope, kosher v'yosher, like this, I assume that that's the case, right? shouldn't be shown privately, because then people get a desire to see other videos privately. And the next one will be a little bit less than this, and the one after that a little bit less, until, like we said, Aveira, Goreris Aveira, and even sometimes mitzvahs are Goreris Aveira, if you're not doing them with the right intention. So this video is meant to be shown publicly, and a video of a total Torah nature, which will only be shown publicly, there Gedolei Yisrael said, that's a way of using this medium in a positive way, with all the safeguards that could be necessary.
Somebody... Can we take questions? Could somebody, if we need to hear, could somebody just bring the mic, it's a clip of mic, over to whoever's speaking.
Fine.
Whoever has a question, okay? I'll leave up. Do you want to take the mic? Just whoever's question, bring it to them for a moment. Come on, I'll begin.
Okay.
If someone does need the internet for a job or for some kind of professional reason, they should ask the Rav?
Yeah. My answer to all these questions is, usually the general answer is there are filters, there are protections, there are all kinds of ways of guaranteeing, if it's necessary, that it'll be used in a proper way and will be almost impossible to be abused. Nothing is impossible, but almost impossible, at least for somebody who doesn't want to abuse it. However, like I said before, everybody's different. And what you could think maybe you need, maybe you don't need. Maybe you're fooling yourself. And therefore, in addition to the guidelines that Gedolei Yisrael gave, a person should ask their own Das Torah, their own Mora Hora, who knows them personally, who knows their specific situation, and make sure that the guidelines apply to them also.
Thank you.
No, it's good that you have the busha that you don't want to stand. We just talked about busha for a long time. I'm not going to tell you now not to be ashamed or embarrassed. Either of them. It's a good need. I once went to blow shofar in our kindergarten, and I blew the shofar, and one kid started to cry. Let's go. Got terrified, and the gananit said, "No, it's only a shofar." I said, "What are you saying? That all of us should be terrified when the shofar is blown and cry like this child. And you're telling the child it's only a shofar, he shouldn't cry, he shouldn't be terrified. So you should be ashamed and embarrassed, that's good. But still you can ask the question."
How about I left advice on someone who's already involved with it, shall I get out of it?
A person who has taken that bite out of the apple, and then the flies of the Yetzer Hara gather around, and these Yetzer Haras, these Taivas, are like an addiction. It's very, very difficult for a person who's addicted to anything to do it on his own. You have to have help. You have to have somebody, as embarrassing as it may be, to confide in, a teacher, an older person. Right? If you are embarrassed to confide in your parents, it would be ideal to confide in your parents. Right? Somebody that you can confide in, who will hear what you have to say and deal with it in a positive way. Someone you trust, and someone who is a pikeach, a chacham or a chachama, and get help from someone that can be a support system to help you kick the habit that a person gets into. It becomes a habit, and it becomes very, very difficult to get away from without outside help.
If someone stopped watching TV for a while, so how are you supposed to reverse the damage that was done to the person, like images and...
There's an interesting kuzri. The kuzri says that on Yom Kippur, the ideal tshuva is to erase from your memory all of the things that a person saw and heard that was improper when he was a kid. But, since that's very difficult, if you can't do that, at least do tshuva for the averus that you did. So, you're right. When a person already saw and became part of their psyche and part of their experience or whatever is difficult. But habolatayir misayinu, as difficult as it is, a person wants to do tshuva and wants to stop, and tshuva is regretting what you did, making a firm commitment that you won't do it again, and making kabbalos that will enable you not to do it again, right? And being misvada between you and the Rabbanu Shalom, that's all the Rabbanu Shalom wants, then habola tayir misayin lo, and the Rabbanu Shalom will help you with siyata dishmaya and see to it that the experiences and ideas and visual images that you saw in the past will fade from your memory. It's not something you can do. The more you concentrate on trying to make it fade from your memory, the more you're making it part of your memory. Right? The more you try to forget something, the less you'll be able to forget it. But the more you do tshuva and you regret and you stop and you make siyogim for yourself that you won't start again, the Rabbanu Shalom will give you siyata dishmaya, and miraculously, beyond your ability, the Rabbanu Shalom will see to it that he'll erase those memories from your mind in time. From your own personal home, the way to prevent it from coming into your own personal home is by closing your door to these things and making sure that you are not influenced by your neighbors or by peer pressure or whatever, and you're strong enough to do what's right despite what other people are doing. That's the first thing. On the other hand, your children don't spend their time in your home all the time. So you have to make sure that at least as much as you can, they have a peer group that are of a similar mind. That they don't have friends that are going to pull them to the wrong kinds of things. So you have to be very careful of who your children associate with to a point. To a point. And you need to have a Mora Horah, a Rav, Das Torah, that you are close with, who you will follow and you will feel, you know, it's called in the Lashon of the Gemara, Gavra de Mistafina Minei, person that I'm afraid of. Not because he's going to come to your house and yell at you or check your rooms or whatever, but you know that when you think of your Rav, right, and you know that you ask him advice, that how would he feel if he knew what you were doing or what you brought into your house? And if you have a doubt, you ask a shaila and you follow what you're told. That's the best way to protect things. Let me just tell you, my Rosh Yeshiva of Gifter Zatzai. Okay. He was a Rav in Waterbury, Connecticut. Not the Waterbury of today. There was no yeshivas there, and there was maybe a handful of Shomrei Shabbos people, the Chalal. He was the Rav there. And whenever a Meshulach came from out of town, especially from across the sea, from Europe or whatever, he told him, do me a favor and go and check my house. Go from room to room and tell me if you see anything you think is improper. He said, maybe I've gotten so used to the environment that I don't know anymore what's crept into my house. You go and check my house and see. Right? So if a gifter needed somebody to go check his house every once in a while, we all need, if not somebody physically, to go in and make bedikas chametz in our house during the year, for a different kind of chametz, but at least to have on our consciences, what would my Rav say? I'm asking all these shailas, if he knew what I had in this room or that room or what I permit my children to use or to look at or whatever. But when you have hadracha, again, there are times that these things will be mutter in specific ways and times when they're not mutter. Right? Sometimes if you try to make something usher beyond what is necessary, that's counterproductive too. Because Adam tried to do that with Chava, and he caused her to sin. So sometimes you can touch the tree. It's not usher to touch the tree, right? If you touch it the right way. But if you touch it the wrong way, then it's a problem also. Okay, I thank you all for participating. One more question? Okay, one more question.
What if you don't need it like for work and you just like have it in your house? Like you have it with all the all the security things and whatever and like blah blah, blah like the gun and stuff like that. And like just use like some people use it for like men use it to look up to the Torah and like for like having aggression and stuff. But if you want it for
where a computer or internet access is not absolutely necessary for parnasa reasons, then it really depends on a person's own personal situation that has to be appraised by a Das Torah who knows that person, whether they are an exception that for their needs it's kedai to use it with the safeguards that are necessary, or if the needs that they think are needs can be gotten other ways or are based on the knowledge of the person are too much of a risk and a danger for that person or for their family. And it's not worth, the benefit is not worth the risk. Sometimes the benefit is worth it because the risk isn't that great if it's done with the right safeguards and it's done in a way that it can be controlled and kept away from those that the safeguards won't help. But again, the answer really is, it really depends on a person's specific situation with all of the details of what is necessary, what's not necessary, what the risks are, what the benefits are, and somebody with Das Torah has to be able to weigh that in your specific situation.
There's one thing that perhaps wasn't addressed that I hear all the time, that children will find it elsewhere. If they have a void to fill, or maybe they just will find it elsewhere, and then there's no protection.
Okay, again, a parent,
okay.
Unfortunately, we don't chain our children to the bed and watch them 24 hours a day, right? The main thing is to educate your children to know how to deal with those things that are out there, which things are mutter and which things are usher. Children walk outside and they pass a treif for restaurant. They don't necessarily go in and order treif because it's out there and available. They've been mechunach that that's not something that's for me, right? And therefore, ultimately, the generation is going to have to be educated what's kosher and what's treif, and that should be part of the chinuch of a child where it becomes second nature to know what's okay and what's not okay. Unfortunately, all of these things are so fresh that parents don't know how to educate their children yet. We don't know yet the methods of education yet, and therefore, we have to be extra strict to make sure that they don't get a taste for it to begin with. But over the generations, what's going to have to happen is that we're going to have to devise methods of education to be able that children should grow up knowing what is permitted for them and what is totally out of the pale for a frumah yid, and therefore is not something that unless you actively look for it, that people are going to eat treif too. Right, is going to be understood that this is not for a from a yid. Get the.
Let's say somebody does have the internet in their house because of parnasa reasons. So then, isn't that like being hypocritical in a way to the children? Like, I could go on it for parnasa, and you can't touch this computer.
Yes and no. It's only hypocritical if the adult uses it for the things that he's not supposed to be using it for, and uses parnasa as an excuse. But if Gedolei Yisrael said people who need the internet for parnasa with certain safeguards, filters, whatever it may be, is okay, then it's okay because of parnasa. When that child will be older and may need it for parnasa, he also can use it. But the same way that the father or mother would not use it if it wasn't for parnasa reasons, the child can't use it either. So the child has to understand, right, there are certain things that are okay for adults to do because they're adults and because of their specific situation, which the child is not in that situation. It's not okay for him to do. So it's not hypocritical at all if the child understands that the father's not doing something usur, but he's doing something that's mutter because Das Torah said in his specific situation it's mutter. The child, when he'll be in that situation, could be it'll be mutter for him too. But he's not in that situation, therefore for him it's usur.
What about shopping? It's a very common use. No, it's not panasa, but you
certainly get
a deal.
Again, if your Das Torah said in your specific situation, the benefits of using it for shopping outweigh the risks that are there, but in your situation you have covered those risks pretty much, and the situation in your home is one where those risks are minimal and people will not learn from you to use it in the wrong way, based on all of that, then fine. Right? But that again, the answer is everybody is an individual. Everybody needs individual horos for what is okay and what's not okay. Right? Under normal circumstances, sometimes or many times, the benefits may be great, but the detriments and the risks are so great that they outweigh the benefits. Sometimes that's not the case. That's why each situation has to be addressed to itself.